Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Well, I challenge you to find anything in human history more significant, more challenging, more amazing, more life-changing than the resurrection of Jesus Christ, where just 3 days before they had interred a dead body in a hewn rock tomb and left there despondent and disappointed, depressed, now the stone has been rolled away. And because of the rolling away of that stone, death's tomb, in fact, death's prison has now been opened up wide, and light shines forth in a thousand, in a million pieces as we recognize the fact and get this, that Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
You know, what makes Easter so amazing is the fact that there was a Good Friday. If you travel in your imagination back with me to that first Easter, that short journey from the town to the tomb, where these women are carrying a load of spices and burial preparations, but what is in their hands is outweighed by what is in their heart, and that is the burden of a deep grief because they have lost Jesus, or at least so they think at this moment. And then suddenly the unexpected happens, and the change, the transformation, as they hear from the angel, he is not here. He is risen. See the place where they laid him. The women had come expecting death, anticipating that their future would be one that continues in despair, defeat. But every bit of that has now been transformed. Every bit of it is now charged, and it is changed with life. Why? Because Christ is risen. Hallelujah. But first we have to stop, and that stop is at the cross. We stop there before Easter. A little step back. We can't go further. We have to pause here at the cross for a while. If we want to know what the joy of Easter is all about, we have to first grieve the death. Easter does not mean much without Friday. As a matter of fact, I've never experienced a Sunday where there wasn't first a Friday. It kind of has to happen that way. Now, I come out of a rather rich tradition of certain observances during Holy Week. For example, on that Thursday night, Maundy Thursday, the night of the command of Jesus, the night of the Last Supper, where we would meet in the church and experience again the Last Supper, the supper that Jesus has for his disciples, in which we remember his death and his resurrection and actually become participants in that. And then what about Good Friday? I'm old enough to know and remember when all the shops would be closed on Main Street for 3 hours on that Friday. None of the schools would be open. No public schools were open on Good Friday. And then if there was a church on Main Street, that church would be open. People would come in for time of prayer and meditation. Some choirs would be there. There would be organ music in the background playing softly. And some of the preachers from that town would get up and give a short meditation on the meaning of the cross so that people could experience the death. And then in the evening, a service of darkness or the tenebrae, as one by one the candles are extinguished and the lights are dimmed until finally Jesus Christ has breathed his last and has died, as we follow that in the scriptures, and we leave in absolute silence and in darkness, feeling that sense of grief in the death of Jesus. There is no real Easter without first that Good Friday. To be there, to feel and to sense the pain and the sorrow, to participate, as the Apostle Paul writes in Galatians 2, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But the life I live by faith in the Son of God. Living in that life of faith, seeing the immensity of love that focused in that moment on the cross, but it was also at the same time, there was a twin focus. It was focused on each one of us. Imagine that, 2,000 years ago, him knowing you already, knowing your name, knowing your need, and then Jesus giving his life because of that. Here's where we see real love and the whole purpose for which God became man in the person of Jesus Christ. And then from that cross, he calls out, "It is finished." And the meaning of that is not only is the suffering done, but the price of our human sin, our brokenness, our alienation, all of that has been paid absolutely in full. His death for my sin, all in my place. So there is no resurrection without first that death taking place. It absolutely can't happen. The cross happened first for us. And then the resurrection, which is the exclamation that this sacrifice of Jesus on the cross is accepted by the Father and is made good for every one of us. So let's take a few moments to see what Easter spells out for us. E-A-S-T-E-R. That's how you spell it. But what does it spell out? E stands for encouragement. You all know that life is filled with all kinds of discouragements. But once there was a boy and his dad who were, they said, "Dad, let's go out and play catch." "Okay, how do you want to do this? What will be the rules?" He said, "Okay, I'll be the pitcher, you be the catcher." "Okay, then what?" "I'll throw the ball," and then you say, "Good job, good job." The boy wanted encouragement. He lived for encouragement. And there is nothing in life, actually, and you think about it, is there anything, can you think of anything more encouraging to us than the resurrection of Jesus Christ? You know, nothing that appears impossible is impossible because the most impossible thing has happened when Jesus rose from the dead. And now, think about this. If Jesus could move that stone to overcome the grave, then he is powerful enough and he is loving enough to move the stones in our lives that block us in. And so, not only is he powerful, but he is merciful, he is gracious. Now, thinking about that encouragement, you may flatter me, and I'm not going to believe you. You may criticize me, and I might not like you. You may encourage me, and I will never stop thinking about you and loving you. Jesus' resurrection is the E of encouragement, followed by A for an angel. The angel who invited these women who came early in the morning to look inside of that tomb because it was empty. When they got there, there was an angel. And the angel said, "Look where they have laid him. Look where Jesus has been." And they take a look. It's empty. There is no body in there. The stone has been moved. The grave clothes have been undisturbed. That napkin that wrapped his head, it's neatly folded there. Jesus is not any longer in the place of death. And he encourages even us to check it out, investigate. Did this really, actually, literally happen, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Find out. Later on, the Apostle Paul, a couple of decades later, writes about the veracity of the account that is given about the resurrection of Jesus. And he said, "I know of 500 people who saw him alive, all of them at one time. Not a possibility of hallucination. This is real. Most of them are still alive. Go check it out. If you have any doubts about it, investigate it. Investigate it thoroughly and begin to doubt your doubts, so that you may know the reality of the risen Jesus Christ." Well, not only do we have the angel inviting them, but for the S in Easter, we have a surprise. This is the surprise of the ages. You know, everybody was caught off guard. The guards were caught off guard. Well, the women were caught off guard. The officials were caught off guard. You know, everybody was expecting death to be there, but it wasn't there anymore. Sometimes surprises aren't always pleasant. Okay, there was a soldier in Vietnam who called home. He said, "Mom, Dad, I'm on my way home. I'm going to be home by Christmas. But I want you to know I'm bringing someone else with me. And this person had an arm shot off and a leg shot off. And his face is terribly disfigured by shrapnel. But I'm asking, can he come and live with you and Dad? There's a silence on the other end. And Mom, kind of embarrassed, says, well, you know, I don't know. We've got a really busy social season. A lot's going to be happening in our home. This will be kind of embarrassing to us. I'm afraid I'm going to have to say no. And by the way, I got to run right now because we are late for a party. So when they came back home from the party that night, there was a highway patrol car and an officer there who said, by the way, ma'am and sir, I need to let you know that there was a soldier in a motel suicide. He had only one arm, he had only one leg, and his face was quite badly disfigured. Here's his ID. And they looked at it. It was their son who had nowhere to go. But you know, for us, the surprise is not a bad surprise like that one, not a tragic surprise, but a great surprise, because even though sin has harmed us and maimed us and disfigured us, he says, welcome. Welcome into my home. The resurrection means that for us. The wonderful surprise when suddenly the whole thing begins to make sense to us and say, wow, that resurrection is meant for me, a life-changing reality. So we have that that surprise. We also have the angel. We've got the encouragement, but now we have the T for telling other people. Now, after the women experienced this incredible surprise about the living Jesus, they're told, now, go and tell the disciples and tell all the others. Tell them that Jesus is alive. And you know, this telling applies to every one of us who knows the risen Jesus Christ. How else are people going to know unless somebody tells them? Well, truth about Jesus is the one truth, the only truth that is going to make an eternal difference in the lives of people. And the responsibility falls on who? If not on us, well, who does it fall on? It falls on us. But you might think, you know, I just don't think people are that interested. Why should I bother? I had an experience just a couple of weeks ago about someone telling me about a book. And the author said, oh, the author, these are such great books, great adventures, and they're just spellbinding. You can't put them down. And that got me interested enough that I said, I'm going to buy into that. And so when I got home, I went to my Kindle and I downloaded that book. I would not have known without somebody else's sense of enthusiasm for it. Someone being sold on the whole idea that wanted to sell me on the idea. That captured my interest. And then that interest led to me taking action. Who knows? But what part God has you to play in the salvation of another person. That sense of E for excitement that follows the telling others, excitement. Or maybe think of enthusiasm. Some years back, there used to be a thing that would come to your door called a newspaper. Probably none of you get them anymore. And they had these cartoons, and I was always go for the funny papers. That was the first thing. Well, there was a cartoon called Family Circus, and I guess it's still there. Okay, so little Billy and his brother are walking through the candy store, and they see all the chocolate bunnies and the jelly beans and the marshmallow bunnies and so forth, and they're looking with great excitement over it, and then Billy says to his little brother, he says, this may be Good Friday, but Sunday's going to be even gooder. Bad English and great theology. Yeah, without Friday, without Good Friday, it would just be a bad Friday and would be the end of hope, and it would be not the end of guilt, but the end, really, of anything meaningful in our lives. The prospect of Jesus being raised from the dead was so filled with joyful possibility that it was hard to believe. The women at first didn't believe it. The disciples at first didn't believe it. Peter had to go and run and see. Thomas didn't believe it. Unless I touch those wounds, I am not going to believe. But then the excitement that happened when they realized that he was alive. This led to the greatest movement in human history, and that is the development of the Christian church. It was people who were excited about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, they couldn't stop telling people about that, even though they had to endure persecution, and many of them faced death. But because of the life of Jesus, their lives were totally changed. To experience divine life within your own heart, can you think of any greater excitement than that? Any greater experience, as long as we're on the letter E, than that? But finally, we get to the final letter, and that is R, for resurrection. Confucius, Buddha, Muhammad, hey, where are they? They are still in their graves. The central event of our faith is that Jesus came alive, physically alive out of that gate, out of that grave. And if it didn't happen, do you know that we're all here wasting our time? You know, we shouldn't be here if he didn't rise up from the dead. If it is true, we're in the right place. We're doing the right thing. We're celebrating the central event of human history. It is the one that changes everything, both now and forever. Well, we don't have to be any longer like those women were that early morning when they were on their way to the tomb, carrying the heavy burdens of those burial spices, expecting death. We are people expecting life, and we do not have to carry any longer the burden of guilt and disappointment and discouragement in our lives. Let me share with you what one of the followers of Jesus, who came to know Jesus a few years after this, his name is Paul, and he wrote this to the Ephesian Christians. He says, "But even when we who were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ." Notice it's very personal. We, our trespasses, made us alive. By grace, you have been saved. And he raised, look at that, our resurrection. He raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that means we are partakers of that resurrection. It wasn't just Jesus that day, but involves all of us. It was a Sunday school class, and the teacher told the story again of the resurrection of Jesus. And as she's coming toward the end, and she said, "What do you think were Jesus' first words when he came bursting out of the tomb and a hand went up right away and said, 'I know, pick me.'" And the little girl said, when the teacher said, "Well, what were those words?" She said, "Ta-da, ta-da." Easter is the big ta-da of Christianity. And while I wrap this up, you can go and go for the kids, bring them on in, because we have something special for them. And I just want to share with you, there is hope for you. There is joy for you in the risen Jesus Christ. And by faith, we let him change our lives, charge us with that eternity, charge us with faith, with hope, new perspectives in our lives, so that we have the fullness of Easter, that we can live no longer with discouragement, but with encouragement, that we can do like the angel told us to do, investigate it, find out, let your faith be a personal faith, not just a secondhand kind of a thing. Experience the surprise of the ages, and this is a good surprise, not a disappointing surprise, and then tell other people. After the women experienced the surprise of the living Jesus, they told other people, and they had an excitement. And that excitement was infective. It just went all over the place. And finally, the resurrection. It is our resurrection as well. We are made new. We are risen. We are made to rise up with Jesus Christ. If you have that faith, if you have that hope, God bless you, and may that faith and hope increase each day in your lives. If You've maybe been delaying, saying, well, you know, I guess it's maybe true, but how about letting Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, make that new and alive so that you can act upon that every single day of your life?